I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And we'll read verses 36 down through verse 45. And certainly, I believe this is very, very significant, even though it's an Old Testament passage, as to where we are in God's plan today for the future. God has a plan, and He is working out that plan, and we can trust Him to do always that which is right. Amen? And He is a God of righteousness. So, Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Whoops, I don't think this is going to work. I don't know. I'll try. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel has a dream, and in this dream, he sees a great image with a gold head, and then there is the silver, and then after that is the brass, and then there is the iron and the clay. And we want to note as we go through this, as Daniel explained what God told him was the meaning of this dream. God told Daniel that, and Daniel passed it on to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 36, this is the dream. We will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength and of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you might help us to understand what you've written in your word. And Father, I pray that it might be a blessing to us, and that we might see what you would have for us today. Father, I pray that we might see the things that would help us to guide our lives in a way that would please you and in accordance with what you have planned for us. And Lord, we ask now that you might give us wisdom as we walk with you in these days of turbulence. Father, we thank you for the preservation of our great country and for what you have done, even in the midst of those who would try to tear it down. And Father, we pray that you might help us to see this nation turn back to the founding principles that it was founded upon. We ask for your grace and your mercy. Father, we don't deserve it, but we ask for your humble blessings. Father, we know that you are a great God and that we need to be a humble people as well. Father, help us to see that sin is the problem in our nation and that we have a God who can bring us back to himself into a place of blessing. And so, Lord, we pray that you might bless your word this morning. Pray that you would bless your people and those that could not be with us today. We pray that you would surround them with your presence and promises and your encouragement. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Despite the Marxist attacks on our nation, we remain one nation under God. Our solidarity began with Christianity and has survived because of Christianity and will continue as long as Christianity is not lost in our country. God is the one who blessed the founding of this nation and has brought it through struggles with much bloodshed and will continue to bless it when we stand firm in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. As believers in Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior by faith, we are marching forward in step with God's plan for our lives. You know, there are some people that get really pessimistic in our day and age when all this turbulence comes and they become very, very fearful. But I don't believe that we ought to be that way as Christians. We ought to be optimistic that God is working out his plan and pressing us forward for his glory. That is where we're going. Truly, our lives are in God's hands as we move ahead with him. Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hand. David said, my times are in God's hands. Folks, have you come to that recognition in your life today that your times are in God's hands? Many times we think we are independent creatures, but we're not. We're dependent creatures. We are in God's hands. Certainly, David went on and said, deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. In Psalm 31:15, Daniel trusted in the God of heaven and lived out his faith during the Babylonian captivity. It was to Daniel that God revealed his plan for the future of the world's history. In five Gentile kingdoms, the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of Medo-Persia, the kingdom of Greece, the kingdom of Rome, that would be as iron and later as a mixture of iron and clay. And then there is going to be that great and glorious fifth kingdom when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth to rule and to reign for 1,000 years that turns into his eternal kingdom. Praise God. Folks, I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist this morning because Jesus is coming back again. And so, this will be the kingdom of heaven on earth when Jesus Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reigns. Jesus is coming back to this earth, not before turbulence of iron and clay. Daniel lived in a turbulent time, yet remained faithful to his God with a peace in his heart that God was working out his plan. May God help each child of God here today to be faithful as Daniel in the turbulent days of the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians. And so this morning, I would say to you, if we're going to be faithful like Daniel, we must be true to our God. In Daniel chapter 1, and we've got to get the context of Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 1, it says that in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Certainly, the Babylonian culture, we hear a lot about that word culture today, don't we, in America? But in the Babylonian culture, they did their best to try and take away Daniel's allegiance to his God. They did several things. They changed his address. I hope that our nation never goes into captivity, but it could. They changed their language. Folks, yeah. Anybody want to start learning a new language today? Kind of wipes out the heart language. And it takes a long time to learn to that new language. I learned that as a missionary. They changed their names. From Daniel, his name became Belteshazzar, a worshiper of Bel. Huh? They changed the name of Hananiah and of Shadrach and to Mishael, of Meshach and Azariah to Abednego. They changed their diet. But Daniel said, I will be true to my God. He did not change his convictions, learning of living true to God. When these four men of God had their life threatened, they humbly called on God and to pray and calmly trusted God to give him glory. If you go to Daniel chapter 2, in verses 17 down to 23, we find there that they were going to kill all the wise men, all the magicians that were in the court of Nebuchadnezzar, unless someone could reveal the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, who among us can know what another mind is thinking? None of us. But God can. God knows. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart through His Word. And we know that Daniel here and his friends, they called on God and asked for His help to discern what was in this dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible says in verse 19 in the chapter 2 of Daniel, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. My, what a day that must have been. Can you imagine Daniel just kind of wiping his forehead and saying, phew. He says, God, You've been faithful, and I want to be faithful to You. That was Daniel. Just as he received this revelation from God of what God was going to do. And incidentally, one of the reasons that we know that this book is absolutely truth is that God has already revealed the course of world history, and it's been fulfilled except for the last few parts. It was the Babylonian Empire, and then it was Medo-Persia, and then it was the Greeks, and then we have Rome that came on the scene, and then Rome collapses, and now we live, I believe, in the days of iron and clay. And folks, that's kind of exciting. You say, well, why is iron and clay kind of exciting? Because it speaks of the time, if you go back here to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, it says, and in the days of these kings, the kings of iron and clay, okay? Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Folks, we don't know when Jesus is coming again. But we know some things are going to precede it. And we're drawing very close to His coming. Amen? We're looking forward to that. Now, I'm not setting any dates. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But I am anticipating. And I know where the clock is at in God's program here in Daniel chapter 2. And so, we find that God rewarded them with his wisdom, his revelation, his reward. And in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 48, the king promoted Daniel, and certainly he rewarded him with wisdom, his revelation, and his rewards. If you stay true to God, you also will have his blessings. But I want to bring this back into focus to America for just a minute or two here. George Washington said, it's impossible to govern without God and the Bible. James Madison, the architect of the Constitution, the fourth president, said, we have staked the future of the American Constitution not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments. You know, if we were governing ourselves by the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't see all of the ruckus that's going on in America today. It's a need. May God help us. Abraham Lincoln, it is only assurance of our nation's safety is to lay the foundation in morality and Christianity. Ronald Reagan, coming up a little closer to where we live, he said, and without God, democracy will not and cannot endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Wake up, America. God is the source of all blessing, to include all things spiritual and physical. When God is removed from a nation, so are all its blessings. If America continues in the current path of eliminating God from social, educational, and government entities and functions, we will soon discover we have truly become a nation gone under. America will find itself no longer ultimate beacon of freedom and abundance for the world, but rather the doormat upon which the world wipes its feet. It's not too late. God is listening and waiting. Daniel, in captivity, said, my God, still alive, and he can still do great things. Waiting for us to renew our commitment, Reagan said, as one nation under God. You and I need to remain true in the days of iron and clay. Did you notice that it went from gold to iron and clay? Now, folks, I've got a question for you this morning. Is that evolution or devolution? Okay? It was a downward path, wasn't it? From gold down to clay and iron mixture. Nebuchadnezzar got kind of a big head, and God humbled him too, didn't he? Iron of communism and totalitarianism and Islam is certainly in our country today. For 70 years, from 1917 to 1987, the iron grip of Soviet communism clashed with the clay of democracy, leading pro-communist leaders to crush the democratic opposition. However, iron and clay continues today because the iron and the clay nations are still buying, selling, and trading. Do we get that? Isn't it interesting? Joni Ernst said this week, she said, we are actually rewarding China in a way that we do not reward our own citizens, because they are getting benefits that we would never have as a nation, because we pay taxes on our interest. But they continue to gather money and money and money and heap money upon money. Certainly, that is something that we have seen in our present. The 20-year assessment of the Chinese Communist Academy of Social Science attributed America's success not to its military political system or economic system, but to its Christian moral foundation. Isn't that amazing? Chinese communists, they could see that the blessings that we have in America came from God. Maybe we need a wake-up session here in America. Maybe we need a training session. Maybe we need some academic people that can study and see clearly that it's God who blesses us. The iron of godless totalitarianism is also present. The American Revolution was based on Christian principles, respect for life, liberty, and property. The French Revolution was based on the secular humanism. It resulted in the beheading of some 40,000 people. The new secular government in France, in their French Revolution, forbid crosses as being an offense, destroyed religious monuments, outlawed public and private worship and education, desecrated Christian graves, closed churches, or used them for immoral, licentious, scandalous depravities. Christian theology was rendered absurd and ridiculous, and the mind of the reader was steeled against the conviction of and duty. The being of God was denied and ridiculed, and the possession of property was pronounced robbery. Chastity and natural affection were declared to be nothing than groundless prejudices. Adultery, assassination, poisoning, and crimes of infernal nature were taught as lawful, provided the end was good. The good ends that they sought was to overthrow religion, government, and human society, civil and domestic. Folks, does this sound like a blueprint for what's going on here today? The iron of dictators like Adolf Hitler, he began with the control of the press, and then when he got the control of religion, he had the people. There was no more resistance. The church was the last to go. The iron of Islam. In nations where strict Islam is followed, Islam has repeatedly murdered Jews and Christians through Islamic jihad. But how about the clay? We've talked about the iron. Now I want to talk about the clay. The clay of democracy and socialism. Every day we hear that America is a democracy until we have accepted this as an illusion that was what the founding fathers gave to us. Did you know, folks, did you know that America is not a democracy but a republic? There is a difference. I hope you're listening. Because this is vital to the future of our nation. We are not a democracy, but a republic that has a limited form of government, limited by a constitution, the Bill of Rights, limited terms of political office, and the division of the branches of government. There are several limitations, layers. The founders wanted to make sure that we had that down. But instead, socialism has come in like George Orwell's novel, 1984. Big Brother is presented in society as the savior of all humanity, while people are brainwashed to believe Big Brother. And 24-hour control is installed in every street and every home. And any word said against Big Brother is punishable by death or as a thought crime in his novel. I think they call that a hate crime now. Socialism promises free everything but ends up taking everything you possess to keep the machinery of big government running. Did you know that the Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States earns $223,000 a year? And is worth over $200 million? And yet she wants to tax and run our country deeper and deeper into debt so that even our grandchildren and great-grandchildren will never be able to repay the debt. Socialist and communist states become wealthy through the currency, manipulation, theft of state property, embezzlement, while the citizens are starving and enduring disease and squalor. Folks, I lived under socialism for 17 years, and the year that we left, I saw people in the markets starving and no money for food. Socialism is the elimination of God from a nation through a godless government. That's number one. Mark these down. Socialism is the elimination of God from a nation through a godless government. Number two, the restriction of freedom through government control. Big brothers and elitists tell you how to live your lives. Number three, the confiscation of wealth and property through redistribution of wealth by unlimited taxation. Government without limitations destroys free enterprise. Number four, the oppression of the poor through the delusion of something for nothing. God is the source of all blessing, not godless government. When we lived in Holland, they had a little saying, we have everything. We have all everything that we need provided for us by the government from the cradle to the grave. So why do we need God? That's socialism. Socialism is destruction of moral values. When we lived in Holland, there were five legal sins that were destroying the nation. And they're coming here to America today. Socialism is education without biblical foundation. It is trying to cure sin without Christ. And lastly, the seventh, it is the rejection of God's direction from human government in Romans 13. God's direction is the government's responsibility to punish evil and reward righteousness. Romans 13. You read Romans 13. The government that God has instituted does not bear the sword in vain. But it's also to reward the righteous. Boy, they got that mixed up today. Certainly, the defunding of police and the lack of accountabilities in our courts and the putting down of righteous living is becoming all too common. But there is a failure when you try to mix iron and clay. Iron is strong. Clay is weak. Isn't that right? End time powers will seek to mix iron of totalitarianism and imperialism with clay of democracy and socialism. It is important to realize that when the struggle to mix iron and clay begin, it is a sign that soon the final 10 toes of the Middle East will arise and of Europe. They hope to mix opposing views that has not unfolded the way they thought. Certainly, the clay democracies of America and Britain have led the charge to transform the Islamic world and create peaceful coexistence among Islamic religions and nations. The failure to mix is an ideology of liberal democratic ideas which contradict the strict observance of the Islamic law and tradition, and you have this clash. The coming world government is going to have immeasurable costs, not only affecting our finances, but also our liberties and personal lives. A global government will be enforced by a global police and a global army. Third world countries and the UN have already voted to take away the wealth of Europe and America and give it to themselves. The only thing preventing them is global police powers and the veto power of the US in the Security Council. Iron and clay do not mix well. The Supreme Court in 1984 declared public policy as an interpreter of the law. This is how we have the same gender marriage, homosexuality, and a whole host of immorality being dictated by unelected judges. The pressure, I wished I had time to get into that. But if you look in your bulletin, you can see what has happened in the Supreme Court in that bulletin insert. How far we have gone from the foundation of what the old Supreme Courts used to say. And they talk about today in the courts of our land that somehow we need to go back to previous cases and have precedent as our means of justice today and throw out the Constitution. It's no wonder we're in the mess we're in. Folks, the pressures of riots and revolution by certain segments of society manipulate the moment for their desired change. But we are a constitutional republic government that has elected representatives who establish its laws. The elected representatives has a written constitution that limits them and certainly limits the majority and provides safeguards for the individual. The founders of America created a constitutional republic where the power is divided among the people, the state governments, and the federal government. At the federal level, power was again divided across legislative, executive, and judicial lines. Power was then limited again, not only by the Constitution, but by brief terms of office, and the colonies came together believing collectively in God-given rights and freedoms of each individual. A republic form of government is not, if not guarded, can deteriorate into a democracy government which is controlled by popular and manipulative feelings of the people. Democracy then turns into an anarchy system in which each individual determines his own rules and standards of living that flow out of depravity. That's called mob rule, folks. A democracy may soon dissolve into an oligarchy of totalitarianism. That's the elite rule. Do you know who one of the richest men in the world is? His name is Putin. The elite rule over all the others that suffer. A democracy can devolve into a dictatorship. One individual oppressively rules. That's dictator rule. Folks, may we be true to the founding principles of our country that were established on God's principles. We must be true, as Daniel was true. And I told the deacons this morning, I had too long a sermon, and I can see it already, just getting done with point one. Daniel was true to his God. But we must also be faithful to our God, even as Daniel was, and speak up for him. Daniel spoke up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego spoke up to Nebuchadnezzar and reminded that they were trusting God. May we do the same. I wish I had time to go into our Baptist forefathers that did that as well. And folks, when we speak up, this is the message. It is a message of reconciliation. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you." What does an ambassador do? He just states what the government stands for. We state just what God stands for. That's when we speak up. He says, "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." The problem in America today is S-I-N. Because we have broken a relationship with God and we need to be reconciled, brought back by God to Him. And the only way back is through Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the message we need to speak up on. The gospel of Jesus Christ. One more point. I'm hitting them fast. Be faithful to God as long as you live. Daniel, he had many contemporaries during his days that were prophets as well, but in captivity and all of his life when he went from Babylon to Medo-Persia, Daniel kept the same message that it was his God that would be exalted and glorified. Folks, God has blessed America by His grace. His grace is available to you today. You can receive him as your savior from sin if you'll but turn to him. God has also blessed his servants that remained true to him, that spoke up for him, even when it meant persecution, and those that certainly suffered as faithful servants of God. Certainly the greatest thrill of being a faithful servant of God is to see his word honored and to see his person glorified. I tell you what, I get around some of the saints in this church and I see how they love God's word and how they're hungry for it and how they want to honor and glorify God. And I say, that's the way I want to live the rest of my life. My parents were in the same church for over 55 years because they wanted to see God's word honored and God glorified. Certainly our world is being providentially prepared for the last stage of history, the secret coming of our Lord, the rapture, and the opening coming of the Antichrist for those left behind in the tribulation. Now is the time to be reconciled to God and to be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you accept him and follow him faithfully? Heavenly Father, we weep for our nation and for those lost in sin. Oh God, help us to be true to you. Help us to speak up with the gospel. Help us to live always faithful to you until you call us home to glory. And may our lives be that which would glorify you and honor your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our closing hymn this morning, 363. I think.